Welcome to the Leadership Intelligence Podcast. My name is Charles Rogel, and I'm the Vice President of Products and Marketing for DecisionWise. Today, I am talking with Matt Ride.
How are you doing, Charles?
Good. Matt is one of the co-authors of the book, The Employee Experience, How to Attract Talent, Retain Top Performers, and Drive Results. Today, we're going to be talking about Chapter 7 of the book, which is titled The Psychological Contract. And Matt, to introduce this concept, you wrote a lot about kind of the American history where President Franklin Roosevelt put together the New Deal right after the Depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we use that as a metaphor for the concept to illustrate better what we mean by the psychological contract.
Mm-hmm.
You may have heard it in other podcasts or in some of our marketing materials that we use the analogy, and it's a common analogy, but we say that that it's like an iceberg where bobbing above the water are the explicit terms of the deals that you have with your employee, mm-hmm. and it's your brand contract, it's your transactional contract. But what's hidden below the water, and which is the bulk of what makes up the mass of the iceberg, is the psychological contract. But we use the story of FDR and kind of the New Deal to show that the power that the psychological contract really has to move innovation forward, to create change. This is the workhorse in a sense of what, well, the transactional contract's really important, but the psychological contract is the kind of the fuel, the rocket fuel that kind of helps you achieve your goals. And so we write about FDR and talk about how he came to the American people when they were suffering and said, you know what, I got a plan. And just by having a plan, he was able to calm the nerves, steady the ship, and begin helping the American people to work themselves out of the Great Depression.
He kind of gained mind share with people, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So that brings us to this concept where the psychological contract is, you write in the book, it's created in the mind, it's interpreted by the mind, it's examined and acted upon based on what you create in your own head.
Yeah. At the end of the day, regardless of reality, what's in the heads of your employees is what matters.
Mm-hmm.
And so the psychological contract is a reminder to examine what are these implicit expectations that the other side of that relationship's carrying with them.
Yeah.
And you have to be successful, you're constantly needing to figure out, are you meeting those needs as well as just the frank, explicit terms that you've talked about.
So to kind of illustrate this, you share some of the research that's been done on downsizing or companies that have had recent layoffs and the impact it has on employees.
Yeah. What happens is you set out to do layoffs and you expect to lose, say, 10% of your workforce, and you may end up losing 30 or 40%. And you're like, why are all these people leaving? Well, once they see the layoffs happening, they view it as a breach of the psychological contract,
okay,
that the organization doesn't have the best interests of the employee at heart. And so those that have options, sometimes your most talented, will say, I'm not going to stick it out. I'm not going to wait and see whether the organization's going to stand behind me. I'm going to go secure my own future, and they jump ship immediately. So what you're left with is an odd layer. Those who can't go anywhere else and those that are truly loyal who sort of have disdain for that, the layer that can't go anywhere else.
Right. So there's multiple elements that you write about in terms of what creates this psychological contract, and there's 10 of them. I'm not going to read all of them, but some of these were that it's implicit, it's unilateral, it's left open to interpretation, it's non-reciprocal, it could be open-ended and dynamic, it's illogical a lot of times, some of those things. Describe some of those items.
Well, if you think about a contract representing the understanding or the expectation alignment that exists between the parties.
Yeah.
The challenge with the psychological contract, as we mentioned, and these are the elements, for example, it's left interpretation. You're not sure how somebody views the word. Well, someone who views the word, for example, handout or like a subsidy, if you grew up in poverty, that word might have a positive meaning to you.
Yeah.
But if you are somebody that is against that type of government aid, that might be a negative word to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so your background changes the way you interpret things. And so we have to constantly be careful that understanding that the prior experiences, beliefs, and all of that that we bring with us, they shape how we view. And so the psychological contract isn't tidy. It isn't clean. Mm-hmm. It's flexible. And even I think you read the word illogical. People have expectations just because they have them. And sometimes they don't make sense, but they have them.
And this is totally different than the transactional contract, which we talked about before in another podcast, where it's written down, it's well understood, and it's clear to everyone.
Yeah, you know what you're getting. And that's one thing where we kind of say that the transactional contract is an unused tool, is the more you can get into that transactional contract, the less there is for interpretation under the psychological contract. Mm-hmm. But you can never get everything into the transactional contract. You can never cover someone's heart or beliefs. You just can't get it down on paper. And so you're left with this a mass under the water of trying to ascertain it, figure it out, see how it's impacting you.
So I think most managers have had experiences where they've encountered employees who are upset or confused or mad about some breach of this psychological contract, and they had no clue that they felt that way or that it came across that way. So how does a manager then work through that and align employees better with the expectations of the organization?
I think the single most important thing they can do, and there's lots of others, but it's important to have one-on-ones. Mm-hmm. And during those one-on-ones, to ask questions like, how are we doing? Tell me how you're feeling. Is there something that's lingering? And just be open and just tackle it head on and try to make sure in those private moments, and hopefully you've built trust. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you have the type of working relationship that will allow for honest disclosure. But if you do, particularly if you follow the six pillars that we talked about when we were talking about expectation alignment, if you're following those, then that's a good chance to get people to open up, and you can kind of get a window into the psychological contract.
Excellent. Well, Matt, thanks for providing a brief overview of Chapter 7 of the book, The Employee Experience. We talked about the psychological contract. You can get a copy of the book on Amazon or any other bookseller. The Employee Experience, How to Attract Talent, Retain Top Performers, and Drive Results is published by Wiley. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.